Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, August 8th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Tracy Spradling. Tracy and her husband Alan are faithful members of Mountain Brook Baptist, and they serve in many ways, and they also have lots of relatives in the church that I hope she'll tell you about during the interview portion of this podcast. But first, she'll read God's Word for us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mary, for having me. We are reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 25 from the NIV edition. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. Our second passage is Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?"
Thank you so much, Tracy, for joining the podcast and for reading for us today. I hinted at the beginning of the podcast that you are related to a lot of people in the church, and you have a lot of family that aren't in the church, so we want to hear about your family.
My husband, Alan, and I, we've been married 37 years, and we have three children. Benjamin is 31. He lives in Hoover. And he's married, has a little boy named Parker.
I got to meet Parker at a recent dedication.
Yes, he's so cute. He's so sweet. And then we have twin girls, Sarah and Emily. They are 28. And Sarah is married to Joel Burks. And they have a little one, Maggie, who is a sweetheart.
So cute.
She is a little over a year now, and they are expecting another one.
Yay.
At the end of January, so we're very excited about that. And then Emily is Sarah's twin, and she's married to Michael Meganson, and they have two precious little girls, Lucy, who's two and a half, and Olivia. She's about 7 months old now, and they are a delight. And we also have been raising my niece and nephew, and my niece, Victoria, she's graduated from UAB. She's off having adventures and loving life. And Ross is a sophomore at UAB, and we're very proud of him.
Just to make the connection for people, Joel Burks is our minister to students, and Sarah, his wife, they've been serving for so long. She serves in the contemporary worship and also sometimes in the choir in lots of different capacities with children. Anyway, lots of things. And then Emily and Michael as well. They're in the choir, they've served in the contemporary worship band, and are very faithful volunteers with the youth ministry. How did you and Alan get connected with the church, or was it just you had to come because your kids were here?
Yes, we followed our kids. Before Joel and Sarah were married, he was the contemporary worship leader, and we just wanted to be where our family was and be part of that church. Alan and I grew up Methodist. We had been Methodist since we were babies. And we came to this church and we just felt a connection. And it wasn't that different from the Methodist church we had grown up in. And so we felt comfortable here. Yes. And we enjoyed the ministers and it just was a good fit. And now we love being here and seeing our grandkids every Sunday. And it's just very special and we wouldn't change it.
And I know part of your story is that you and Alan grew up in families that were very involved in church. How has that shaped you?
Oh, my parents were super involved in church and always serving. My dad was youth minister and my mom was always there. She was in the choir. She taught Sunday school. And so I grew up seeing that. And then Alan and I, we met and he came from a similar background and we met at the Wesley Foundation at FSU. So we knew that's what we wanted for our family.
Are you a big Seminoles fan now?
Yeah, we are. We're still kind of, it's in a low point right now to be a Seminole fan, but we still watch the games, but we're not as diehard as we used to be.
And are you from Florida?
I went to high school in Tallahassee, Florida. Alan grew up in Central Florida. He's a native Floridian. And so we met at FSU.
And then how long did you date? And when did you move to Birmingham?
We dated for a few years. And then we got married and we ended up moving to Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama. Had all three of our kids there. And then we moved a couple of different places before we ended up in Birmingham.
And was that because of Alan's job?
Or? Yes, it was because of Alan's job. And it was really important to us for our kids to stay in the same community because I bounced around as a child, you know, different elementary schools, middle schools, and I wanted stability for the kids. So we stayed here and they grew up here and it's been wonderful.
Well, your servant heart is evident because you teach children's Sunday school every week here at Mount Root Baptist, and you're part of a growth group. How did that servant heart take root? And tell me a little bit about both of those ministries.
I have always taught Sunday school at every church, in every place we've lived. It's just, I was drawn to that. And so now I teach second grade Sunday school. I've taught for either first or second grade for the last 3 or 4 years, and I enjoy it so much. And in fact, Alan teaches with me. He's disciplinarian. he takes his job seriously, but it's nice to have him in there with me.
Do you have a routine of how the class usually goes that you would share with us?
Well, the kids come in and I let them play for about 10, 15 minutes. And then we listen to the Bible story. I read to them and usually do a little video about the Bible story. So they can see it, they can hear it. And then we talk about it. And then we always bring Dunkin' Donuts munchkins. And they love that.
Of course.
And then we let them play on the playground. And so we're not sitting around the table the whole time.
But you are asking them to learn the books of the Bible, right?
I try. and we have a little video we watch, and they know the Old Testament and the first 4 books of the New Testament.
Well, that's pretty impressive. The Old Testament's the hard part to me.
But they've got to have the song going to know it. And I've had one child to name them all.
Okay.
And, you know, he got a special treat because of it.
Well, you have been mentioned on the podcast several times by people who are talking about their Sunday school teacher. So we thank you for your service. I'd like to know more about your growth group. When do you meet and what are some of the things that you guys have studied?
Currently, my growth group is on Tuesday mornings. And I've been going to this growth group for a few years now, and it's been wonderful. It's with a wide variety of ages and different backgrounds, and I feel like they know so much more than me. And so I go in and learn a lot. We've done Revelation. We also did the Screwtape Letters, which may have been one of my favorites. I often think back to that study. And we also do Jen Wilkin videos, and I have enjoyed those and learned a lot.
Is that a place where you get to know people on a deeper level?
Yes, we share a lot with each other, and I learned so much from the older ladies in the group that are going different, you know, they're just in different seasons, and I enjoy listening to their stories.
I kind of jumped ahead and didn't even ask you about hobbies and interest. This is one of my favorite questions because it connects you with people. Are there things you're interested in doing and or new things that you have tried in the recent days?
Yes, I have just started playing pickleball with a few ladies that I work with, and it's just been a blast. The weather's kind of hot right now for us to play, but once the fall comes, I think we're going to get back into it. And it's just a great way to get out there, get some exercise, laugh, and just let out
some steam.
Some steam, vent a little. And I love to read. I've always got a book on my Kindle. I like to download books from the library and just always have something.
What is a book that you might recommend to us?
Well, I have to say thank you to Mark Richter for mentioning Theo of Golden in his last sermon. Him mentioning it reminded me it was on my list and I needed to read it. So I did read that in just a couple of days. And it was refreshing and a lot of plot twist. And it was a good book that I would really recommend.
I heard that you are a school bus driver. Now, you have the most beautiful, soft voice, so it's hard for me to imagine. Set the scene for us. How do you use your ministry? This has to be a ministry to share God's love with children.
I love being a bus driver. And yes, I have a soft voice, but I have an intercom system where I get on the intercom and they know my she's mad voice. And so they're really good. I drive elementary and high school, so that's quite a difference in my day. But I enjoy it so much. There are days that it's not easy, but those days are far in between. Mm-hmm. I drive in an area of Hoover that maybe is an immigrant community, and they have my heart, and they're good families. I drive the high school kids in that same community that I drive the little kids. And I know their moms, their dads, and their brothers and sisters. And so I can see them grow up. And it's my mission. Mm-hmm. And I try to be kind. And if I ever get the opportunity to share God's love, I do it. This last year, one of my elementary boys, he asked me a question about the creation story. And we sat there and talked about that. And it was just wonderful. And a few years ago, I had a high school boy in the front seat, and he would have his Bible every day. And we would kind of talk about what he was reading. And so I do look for those opportunities to talk to the kids. And I have a sign above the windshield, and it has the gifts of the Spirit up there to remind me how I need to be interacting with these children who come from some tough families and some tough situations. And that's always my reminder. I look up there and go, am I being kind? Am I being gentle with these kids? And like I said, I love it.
Praise God for that ministry that you are extending to Hoover and to our world just through simply, like you said, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Although I know it can be tough at times to be patient. How do you learn the kids' names?
I'm persistent. And my husband, Alan, is amazed that I can do it. There's like 30 to 40 high school students and about that many elementary kids. And I don't see them for very long, but I really try to say hello in their name every day. And I just, it takes me a couple of weeks, but I do it.
Is there a scripture that comes to mind often to sustain you in a difficult season or to remind you of God's faithfulness?
Every growth group, we are asked to memorize something. And one time, one year, Psalm 25, that's what we were given to memorize, thanks to Mary. And I did memorize it. And it does come to mind. And I just think, I can trust in God. God is there for me in the good times and the bad times. And that's my go-to.
Would you end our time together by praying Psalm 25 for us?
Yes. This is Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased, and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles. Amen.